Minutes of February 26th.
The minutes of February 26th have been moved. Would you all take a look? Any objections? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Object or against, whatever you want to say. Minutes are approved. We have a subcommittee report, right? We're just going to adopt the one. Which one's new? We had a subcommittee report from Representative Junkie. I believe he's in the audience or not? Oh, we don't need him, Mr. Williams. That's one. 3124, what's his name? This is that, this is that. Frank, then, you say? Representative Hornstein, did he leave?
I believe he went to the restroom.
Beg your pardon?
I believe he went to the restroom.
Oh. We could temporarily leave this one aside.
I believe the governor asked him to approve the commissioner.
That's it. We just approved the subcommittee. Should I just say? Representative Hornstein just temporarily stepped out. The chair will move to adopt the subcommittee report on CB 124 and send it to the floor. I think many of you were in the subcommittee. If not, are there any questions as far as the terminology in 3124 dealing with the coffee shop description? Anyone testifying for or against? Apparently not. Let's send Kalen.
I'll pass.
Oh, okay. If not, you've all seen the subcommittee report and a chair move to adopt it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The subcommittee report is adopted and sent to the board, general order. So, is there another subcommittee report? Okay. We have another subcommittee report. Representative Norton, House File 2628. We will just adopt that report and leave it on the table. There's a little bit of, there are two kind of comparable bills, and I think they're working together to try to work it out. So rather than pulling one separately, we're going to just adopt this report and leave it here temporarily till they can get together and see what happens. They deal basically with the limited driver's license. That's correct. So we have to move for that. Representative Hornstein, you want to move?
Sure.
Move that.
Move the subcommittee report.
Representative Hornstein moved to adopt the subcommittee report in House File 2628. Any questions? Not all in favor say aye.
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 Contrary? No. The subcommittee report is adopted. We have, wait a minute, that's the next one. Yeah. We've got to go to House Files 1601. Bruce, Representative Anderson. This is all limited driver. Yeah. Welcome to the committee, Representative Anderson. And Representative Anderson, I believe that you're working with another. This is dealing with limited driver's license. I spoke about the other one. Are you, if I may ask, is a comparable one? Are you speaking with the other author? Is that correct or not?
Mr. Chair, members, the House file that's been Norton coming forward, I've not really seen all the details on it, but it is comparable in the way that it's been drafted, and a lot of things that she has are pretty much in favor of really what we have, and we just added some extra things on top of it, and so if we can, our members, people would like to testify just to talk to the, those particular extras that are on the bill.
Well, Representative Anderson asked you basically, if you'd identify yourself for the record and explain it, you'll probably just move to, we'll temporarily just leave in this committee till you concur with, is that the idea, concur with Representative Norton?
No, I
understand where someone's going to testify to the differences first. So, you want to move? Let's see, you can't move it, can you?
I'll move.
Representative Hartman moves to moves House File 1601. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. House File 1601 is brought to you today. It's been introduced, as you can see by the original date on there, back in March of 2007. It's relating to driver's license and establishing a novice driver safety education program. I have with me today two members from education drivers, instructors who have worked with young people getting their provisional driver's license. They would like to testify to some of the differences and some of the things that they would like to see put into statute regarding the novice driver's license program. And it is a little different than Representative Norton's, in fact, that it adds two on top of the bill that she has brought before you to Representative Hornstein's committee. So without my further ado on this, I'd like to have United to testify.
Representative Anderson, you have an amendment you want to bring to.
Yes, sir. I do have two amendments that
you want to use those before you have.
Yes, if I could. That would be great. The House H-1601A1.
I'll have Representative Moore. I'll move that House File 1601A1.
Would you try to move the A1 amendment?
You want it? I explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, working with House Research, Matt Burris, he came down a couple days ago and said that there's some confusion in the way that the language was coming across, and that he suggested that we put into amendment to clean up the language to make it more understandable, and so we deleted some areas of the language, and some areas we've added to, but mainly it's just to make clear what has already been presented in the main bill. If there are some questions concerning what we've added to in the amendment, I'd be glad to try and answer them, but right now, or Mr. Burris could address them also.
Any discussion on the amendment? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? The amendment 1601A1 is adopted. You have another amendment, Representative?
And yes, Mr. Chair, H-1601A3 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the A3 amendment.
We do? Okay. Oh, it's a real short one. Representative Morrow, are you moving that too?
Or no, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, beat Representative Morrow to punch on that one.
Okay. Do you want to explain the amendment?
Mr. Chair, members, we're deleting the word on page 2, line 15, the word an immediate family member, to just put a family member in there to make it kind of come up with a definition of an immediate. It's kind of ambiguous or a little bit kind of stretched. So we just put a family member to hopefully clarify.
Any discussion on the amendment? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? Amendment 1601A3 is adopted. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I do have with me members from driving instructors throughout the state of Minnesota that would like to talk to House File 1601 and what they would like to see accomplished because of the bill. And I'd like to turn it over to them and have them introduce themselves.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Fred Schreiber. I'm the Secretary-Treasurer of the Minnesota Driver and Traffic Safety Education Association.
I'm Joe Christensen. I'm an instructor. I'm also a board member for MISIS. And just since I have an opportunity to say it, I was Teacher of the Year for the MISIS in 2007 and Teacher of Excellence at the national level. So I do have some information.
Yeah, thank you.
This bill differs from the 26, 28 in several respects. The first one is that it sets up a novice driver education program, as you can see, and money will be allocated, hopefully, if this bill were to become law, for, as it says, initial training of new drivers, safety instructors, refresher courses for them, and to update the driver education curriculum used in the state. The curriculum that is being used now has not been updated for many years. For some years, the state, in its alcohol impaired driver education fund, funded traffic safety curriculum improvements. And the Safety Center at St. Cloud developed over a period of years 10 modules to assist in teaching driver education. So by the time the funding dried up, some of the modules were already outdated, and since 2002, nothing has been done. And we think that this is essential to improve driver and traffic safety. I'm appalled at how many countless millions of dollars we spend trying to repair broken lives, alleviate suffering, and replace or repair property, all caused by traffic crashes, an inordinate number of which are caused by young drivers. And we spend almost nothing to prevent these crashes from occurring in the first place. So that's why we are hoping that this program can be established. In addition to that, we have basically the same restrictions that House File 2628 has. However, this bill allows a parental override of the restrictions placed on the provisional driver. We have worked for years with legislators in the House and in the Senate trying to get these restrictions placed in the GDL bill. And the one roadblock, whatever you want to call it, that most or many legislators fear is the loss of parental responsibility or parental supervision. They want to determine with whom, where, and when their provisional driver is driving. And they think that to impose the restrictions without allowing parental override, if you want to call it that, is unacceptable. We like the restrictions. We like a hard law which doesn't allow exceptions. But from what we have learned over several years is that there are too many legislators who will not accept a hard language. And that's the reason for this being in here. Let's see. What was the other thing? I think that's it.
One thing that, this is Joe Christensen, one thing that we have found out in doing some research is that there are three states in the United States have poorer level of graduate driver's license than Minnesota, and three are tied to it. In other words, 46 states have a better system than we do. Many other states have the complete restriction, but in some ways that's not enforceable. What we're trying to do with the language in this bill is to have an enforceable bill or restrictions, but also give parents an opportunity to change those restrictions on special occasions.
I think we have a question, Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the testifiers trying to address those concerns. I'm a teacher, and my experience and the experience of the people I work with is very often that signed parental notes, oftentimes it's difficult to determine the validity of that signature. And I worry that in trying to address one concern, we're opening another can of worms. Have you thought about that? How would you respond to that question?
Many states allow exceptions with written notes.
Mr. Schreiber.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, representative. States vary in how they do this. We thought that one possible good way to do it would be to have when the provisional license is issued, the parent has to be there to sign, and at that time the parent could decide whether or not he wanted his child, his young driver, to be restricted by the law, or whether he would prefer to give himself some leeway in letting the child drive 3 o'clock in the morning or with 3 or 4 passengers at his discretion. And an easy way might be to merely mark on the plastic provisional card, which everyone will get anyway, whether or not the parent agreed or not. Could be with restrictions or without.
Representative Morgan, you know.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess the other question I would have, again, I appreciate that you would prefer a bill without these kinds of exceptions to them. And I guess I agree with you. I guess maybe this is just a comment for the committee. I'm concerned that we would be setting up an exception in this law that would allow. I mean, if we think this is a public safety issue that needs to be addressed, why are we giving parents the opportunity to opt out just because they disagree with us? I guess that's my question, perhaps to you or perhaps to this committee.
If you want a response, Representative Morgan? If not, are you going to respond, other Representative Kalin?
Mr. Chairman, or Representative, we started out 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago. We were working on GDL before then Senator Ember Young and then Representative Dr. Chaudhry had written a bill. And from the beginning, we tried to get the restrictions without exception in. But year after year, we hear the same story from so many senators and representatives that no, we're infringing on the rights of the parent, and that's why we have done this. We got no place with what we call the hard law.
Representative Kalin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Schreiber, right? Sorry. You actually may have even volunteered the solution that I was going to ask you about. That I've traditionally opposed this bill, the hard version of the bill, for libertarian reasons and parental control and what you just addressed. But I've always found myself kind of caught because I, like Representative Morgan, I taught high school students for several years. And the first year that I taught, I was 21 years old and had one of my lost one of my students for 2 months because his sister and their best friend were killed. And at 17 years old, and I think we know more all too often the pain of losing our youngest citizens right when they're about to become full-fledged adults. I was a terrible driver and reckless as a teenager as well. And it's true, Representative Nelson. I like what I'd like to propose that I think you almost just did. Is that rather than this requirement of holding around the signed statement, of setting up that the condition at the time of getting the license, so that there's a restricted license. There's not only the permit and the provisional license, but not even just the limit of what we have on our licenses, the corrected lenses and But even a different color code, as we do for the under 21s, that I think that sort of with the default that you don't get a restricted, unless the parent is engaged in signing something at the time, and even maybe to resolve Representative Morgan's issue of our frequent note writers at 16 and 17 years old, of even the parent having to provide the license number or something to verify so the DDS could do that. I don't mean to make this a very administrative heavy solution, but I think that this could satisfy the concerns that I have, and I know others who are, you know, a little more libertarian and yet wanting to preserve the safety of our kids. Before that answer, I just want to confirm with Mr. Burris something that we talked to briefly. It was difficult for me to line up the amendment with the bill. And so, Mr. Burris, if you could just confirm that integrating the two, then on line 1.10 or 1.9 of the amendment, the new section 2 is for learning permits.
Mr. Burr.
And then it carries over into provisional licenses as well. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kalin, that is correct. As the bill is amended, there's GDL provisions that are the same for both learner's permits, or called instructional permits, and provisional license holders.
And Mr. Chair and Mr. Burris, the same petty misdemeanor consequence also applies to both to violations of both the learner's permit and the provisional license?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kalin, that's correct. It would be a petty misdemeanor on violation of any of these provisions.
So then, Mr. Chair, I guess I'd like to address my question to the author of the bill and to Mr. Schreiber and see if that solution would work.
Mr. Schreiber, Mr. Representative.
Sounds great to me. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, Representative, it sounds like a great idea to me.
I totally agree with you on that. So. And Mr. Chair, for those, I don't know, I hope that everybody got a fiscal note in their packet.
Right.
And so it shows that the first year is a little bit of cost to it, and on the outgoing years, fiscal year 10 and 11, there's actually a savings and money returned back to the state. So.
Do you have further questions? Representative Kalin?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a question about the program that the Novice Driver Safety Education Program and how that would work. I'm familiar with traditional driver's education where you either take it through school or your parents pay for you to go to a driving school, and I'm just wondering how this would be different from that. And then I have a follow-up.
Mr. Schreiber?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, our intent was to try to improve the teaching learning process for driver education students, whether they're public school or commercial school. And as I mentioned before, the curriculum is in dire need of improvement. And I'm not sure I understood your question more than that. This is part of what we would do, hopefully.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just wondering how, who would administer the money and what would be done with it? I mean, I get that the curriculum needs to be updated. I'm just wondering if a few driver's education professors would be working on it or how it would work.
St. Cloud State is the only institution that I'm aware of in the state that has a traffic safety program. And I'm just assuming that they would be involved in some way with helping to develop new curriculum and developing new programs, hopefully.
Mr. Christensen also has comment.
Mr. Chair and Representative, I worked for 9 years at the Minnesota Highway Safety Center, and one of my tasks for those 9 years was to work on curriculum development. And since the Highway Safety Center closed, or at least the education part of it closed, there has been no work of that nature. And just to keep people, instructors up to date on what's going on in the world, new cars, new technology in the cars, new teaching methods, some of the things that could be done with a computer or whatever. None of that kind of activity has been going on since the Highway Safety Center education portion closed.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Horton.
Just to follow up then on the issue that Representative Morgan and Representative Kalin were discussing, when the graduated driver's license bill came to the floor in the 05-06 timeline, it didn't pass. But we have quite a different makeup of the legislature now than we did then. And I think that it's a possibility that it will pass without the the softening and the adding of the note. And when we were on the floor in 05 and 06 trying to get graduated driver's license through, we talked about adding an amendment to allow a parental note. And at that point in time, we got very strong response from the law enforcement community that they would no longer support the graduated driver's license if that provision were included, because of the problems that they would deal with then in enforcement, because exactly of the issues that Representative Morgan raised. And so, you know, just to learn from what happened before, I do think if we brought the Norton bill and the Anderson bill to the floor today, things would turn out differently than they did 2 years ago. So I think that there's aspects of the Anderson bill that we should pass into law, and I think that the Norton bill we should be able to pass into law. And if we can't, then on the floor we can start to deal with this issue of permission slips and continue to have the input of the law enforcement community. But that's why we didn't do it that way in 05-06.
Representative Nelson. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm sorry I came in late, but I'm listening to the debate here on this. One question I had when you're talking about the suggestion that Representative Kalin was making is, would that change the fiscal note? If there would be a cost if DHS was having to put that on there, would that change the way the fiscal note is? Could it cost more or could it be different? I don't know. I'm just asking a rhetorical question there. I guess I have some concerns. I mean, I think thinking about when I was 16 and getting my driver's license and the time that was, that if all these restrictions we try and put now putting on, and maybe we're being smarter now about the safety of our kids, but I know that if we'd done that when I was 16, there would be people protesting in the streets over this. It was kind of that era. And that's one concern I have. I mean, it's the parental part of it, but I guess, like I said, I just have some concerns about the bill, and also on the other side of the equation is there's been talk, and I've heard talk from time to time with people wanting to put graduated licenses on the other end as people start getting up into their senior years, that having them retake driver's tests, because on the other end of the spectrum you've got a lot of people that just renewed their driver's license that aren't safe to drive anymore either, and I don't know if this is a step down that path either, if this would make it easier to, on the other end, make it so that if you're over 65 or over 70, require every year have to take another driver's test to get renew your driver's license. And that's a concern I have also. So I guess that's just my statement.
Do you have a question, Nathan?
That was no.
Nothing more.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Anderson. I kind of see this as two different bills. I know it's one bill, but I think I share some of the thoughts about the graduated driver's license, although I have a daughter going through driver training right now, and that's going to lead to my question in a moment. My comment is, I think I share with you the concerns that you're expressing here in Representative Norton in terms of teen driver safety and those very distressing statistics that I'm sure we all read in the newspaper lately. So in some way, I'd like to see your bill and Representative Norton's bill together and be able to compare and maybe take the best of both world in terms of ideas, and I've not read the text of Representative Norton's ideas, so I don't know what's going on there. But I am concerned, or at least I have a question, maybe not a concern following up on Representative Portman. I'm still not following the novice driver fund notion, and what would occur. So, for example, my daughter is in driver's training right now in her high school, and I'm not sure if this part were passed, how that educational experience, if I could just finish, that educational experience would change, and then secondly, how would this affect commercial drivers education operators?
I think Mr. Christensen.
Mr. Chair and Representative, I think the answer to that is that it would not affect an individual student, but it would affect the overall teaching. By that I mean we would, if I were involved with this, I would help develop new teaching methods or units or something that would improve the teacher's ability to teach driver ed. Therefore, it would improve the student, but not on it wouldn't affect an individual.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Morrow, if you look in the fiscal note, it talks about the bill description. It says the bill creates a novice education program to be administered jointly by the Departments of Public Safety and Education. The fund will be used to train instructors and or develop a novice driver safety curriculum. And so the curriculum is going to be by the instructors, which we don't have right now. It's been delayed for some time. And so part of the money that is being collected here as the individuals come through is to help get that curriculum and get the education process going so that when they come to meeting your daughter or your daughters and sons here as they go through the training, they have that curriculum in place and it can be upgraded on a regular basis.
If I may follow up, Mr. Chair, just, and I'm sorry, I'm suffering from a little back pain here, so I'm being a little dense, I fear, Representative Anderson, but would the driver's instructors from St. Peter High School go to some training? Who, as a former school board chair, who would pay for them to go to this training? I'm trying to understand how this would be disseminated. Would it just be a package sent to the schools? I'm trying to flesh out the proposal.
Mr. Christensen?
Right now, I am the, Mr. Faison, Representative, I'm the workshop and conference facilitator for NIPSIA. And we do have, in December each year, regional workshops for driver ed teachers. And we do have a state conference. And I would hope that we would expand those regional workshops by getting state money to help pay for them. We could bring in more of the teachers. And maybe, I believe it's already in the law, that the DPS could require driver ed teachers to attend such a workshop.
Okay.
Thanks.
Representative Kalin yielded his spot to Representative Severson.
thank you, Mr. Chair, and just a couple of observations. I think, you know, I initially signed on to this bill, and I believe that there needs to be some regulation, some improvements made in how we teach our kids, but I guess I pulled my name off as well. And one of my concerns was the provision, the parental provision that Representative Morgan spoke to. I think one of the things that I have reservations about is if we lay this at the feet of the law enforcement officer, he has a hard time. He's going to have to take time away to try and verify this note. If he doesn't verify the note and he takes it via, you know, face value, and he lets them go, they go off and they get into an accident, then what is the liability on the state side? Maybe you could answer that question.
Mr. Chair and Representative, our intent was not to use notes. Our hope was to do something such as we've discussed and note on the provisional license whether or not the parent was allowing that young driver to be out. And the police officer who pulls the child over, the young driver, at 3 o'clock in the morning or with four passengers, all you need to do is look at the provisional license to determine if that driver is driving.
I see. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yep. That answers that question.
Mr. Chair. Representative Anderson. Second, Mr. Chair. If you all have your driver's license, not that I want you to pull them out, but if you want to pull them out, it says on the back of them you have endorsements. I have no endorsements on mine. And it also has restrictions. I have no restrictions on mine. But you do. You probably, each one, maybe have an endorsement or a restriction on that. And that's what our hope is, that in the parents coming in to sign for their children to get their provisional driver's license, they can restrict their child to say, we don't want them to have this, or we don't, or we want them to be able to because they are going to be driving to work from 10 till 11 o'clock at night. And so they need that
provision on their driver's license, and the instructor or the police officer, if they pull them over, can take a look at that and say, oh, he goes to work at McDonald's or he works at such and such, he can't get out of this deal. And that's what the restrictions or endorsements would be from the parent's standpoint, be able to have that wherewithal. That's what we're asking. And so you write on the driver's license, there's no extracurricular, any extra note, there's going to be no such thing. It will be right there on the driver's license and either signed in there. And they, even as Representative Kalin said, we could put on there the parents' driver's license number themselves. So they can check both of them and have both of them checked out by the on their scanner.
Representative Kalin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that first in response to Representative Portman's history, I think it is helpful to know some of the history. It is also important to note that I think that the amendment was something like 114, had about 114 votes against it on the floor in 2006, I believe it was. That it was the amendment to bring the full graduated license without carve-outs and stuff. It was a pretty lopsided vote. My predecessor carried the bill, and I've talked to law enforcement over the years about this piece. I think what Representative Anderson is suggesting, that if it were just hard line in the on the driver's license card and we even eliminated the signature or the signed note, I think that may be something that we could live with. I do understand that we are creating more trouble, but I don't think, I have a lot of reservations about the Norton bill, and I know that I'm not alone, and I think on libertarian issues I'm probably a little center left even of the current legislature, even with the change from 2006. So I think that if we're going to have graduated driver's licenses, I think pragmatically we're going to need to make some accommodations both for law enforcement and for the votes. Maybe I'm wrong in my vote count here, but I think that this is something I could support. Removing these opt-outs, I could not support it, and I know that I'm not alone.
Representative Morgan, that was a comment, wasn't a question, Frank. There was no question.
I think I also wanted to kind of clarify some of the, both my suggestion and also a comment.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess, I mean, there may be other people with questions, but I believe we have a couple of testifiers who want to testify on this bill, and I'd also like to talk after that about seeing if we can get the office together to try and come to some consensus on this.
That's important. Representative Horton? Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't know there were other testifiers, so I'll just wait until we hear from the other testifiers.
Okay. Do you have any, okay, for the other testifiers?
That's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm.
This is their testifying. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, committee members, for those of you who were as part of the committee yesterday, my name is Dale Weinholzer. I'm the Director of Public Affairs for AAA. I bought some of the handouts that were used yesterday. I'm here on behalf of AAA, the Minnesota Safety Council, the Minnesota Sheriff's Association, and the Minnesota Chief of Police to speak in strong opposition to Representative Anderson's bill. I have numerous reasons that I'll outline for you, and Deb Prudhomme will speak when I'm done. One, I have no opinion on the novice driver funding, but I'm sure Deb will. I testified yesterday, and again, these are the materials that I brought with me. Minnesota, or I should say, no other state has a higher death rate than Minnesota for teen drivers. 46 other states have passed enhancements to their graduated driver's licensing law. I agree that in the past we've had a hard time passing graduated driver's licensing through the legislature, although I would point out that there are significant differences between Representative Norton's bill and Representative Anderson's bill. First and foremost, with the deletion of the word immediate, does that now mean that a second cousin three times removed by divorce qualifies as someone who can be in the vehicle? I would contend under Representative Anderson's bill that that would be the case. Secondly, their bill allows more passengers than Representative Norton's bill, and I draw your attention to the chart that I believe is in the packet. underneath the Star Tribune endorsements. It's either the third or the fourth page that shows you the dramatic increase that each passenger has to the crash rate of a vehicle. And so by the fact that their bill allows more passengers, it increases the likelihood of that car crashing. Secondly, or thirdly, law enforcement is in strong opposition to a parental opt-out of this bill for numerous reasons. Generally speaking, parental permission slips to break the law aren't popular with sheriffs or police chiefs. By marking the driver's license itself, it would not only be providing an opt-out for the passenger restriction, but the nighttime restriction, it wouldn't be on a limited basis. It would be on the entire duration of the license, which in my mind creates a couple of other problems. First, by allowing the driver to opt out, that may be a decision made by the parent. It's also a decision that's now being inflicted on the parents of all the passengers in that vehicle. Secondly, I can only imagine the legal liability of a car that crashes after midnight with more than one, with two, three, or four passengers in it. I can imagine if that car crashes, the legal liability to the parent that decided to opt out of that. When I testified yesterday, I talked about the nighttime and the passenger restrictions. Our nighttime restriction, midnight to 5 a.m., while we call it a nighttime restriction, would be one of the weakest in the nation. Most start between 9 and 10 p.m. So we're already compromising on the length of the nighttime restriction. We're compromising on the passenger restriction because, again, many states have no passengers, and we allow an additional passenger, plus we have no limitations on family members, to ease any inconvenience that might be on the family. So ours is a much more moderate bill than most of the rest of the country has already passed. By weakening our bill even further, in my mind and in my opinion, it makes DDL, in this case, virtually irrelevant. Again, I'm speaking on behalf of AAA, the Minnesota Safety Council, the Minnesota Sheriff's Association, and the Minnesota Police Chiefs, and now Deborah Prudhomme would have some additional points to make.
We appreciate it if you could avoid any real duplication, because we are on a time schedule, and I presume we'll have some testimony again. Ms. Prudhomme, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I am here today on behalf of the National Driving School Association, the Driving School Association of the Americas, and the Association for Professional Driving Instruction in Minnesota, and I'd like to first say that I feel like Representative Morrow, I think he had a very good point, that these are two separate bills, distinctly separate bills, and that I'd like to contend with the former testifiers that there's a lot of advancement in curriculum in Minnesota when it comes to traffic safety education, and you could just ask the Office of Traffic Safety and the DPS about that. I know my own personal curriculum in my driving school has changed three or four times in the last 11 years, and there's many, many, many national curriculums that driver educators can opt to use, and states have had some serious problems with these sorts of training programs being forced down the throats of commercial driving schools. I can think of Michigan, Washington, Oregon, Utah. It really hogties a lot of good traffic safety education by trying to force us to go with one curriculum. And I have to say that also that in Minnesota, if you're not aware of it, we have a wonderful system of educating our drivers. And one of the key components of that is the support that we get from the Department of Public Safety. All of our curriculums are approved by the Department of Public Safety. They allow a lot of opportunities for new ideas to come in. So I really don't see that is really an issue. I believe that sort of is an attempt to fund public high school driver education and also to fund scholarships for public high school driver education teachers. And I have a concern about that on behalf of the driving schools, because one half of all teens in Minnesota are trained by the commercial industry. And you don't want to hog tie half of those people, because those people are doing a very good job, and we are teaching current methods, and we are training our instructors. So I don't think that that's a concern. I also wanted to mention that I see a very, very big problem with making this mark at the time that the license is issued. There are many, many, many licenses that are issued without parents being available. The parents will notarize an application. It can be falsified so easily. The parents are not going to have that option right there in their face, whether or not they want to make that designation. So the parents may not be on site to make that choice. Plus, I see that that would cost a lot of money in record keeping. I also would just like to say that I personally have trained thousands of teens, and in 2005 I was the Woman of the Year out of 5,000 driving schools, and I am coming to you with letting you know that driver education needs the support from our government and not to get hogtied by our government. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions of the testifiers? Representative Horton.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think that this is, we're all kind of on the same team here. I mean, I understand that you'd like the Norton approach much better, but I really want to commend the two folks from Representative Anderson's area and Representative Anderson for bringing that proposal forward. I think we're kind of all interested in the same outcome in terms of making teen drivers safer. So, I mean, I think this isn't necessarily a very adversarial. I think that we're kind of all in the same place on this. There's different ways to accomplish it. So,
Representative Horton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think, you know, given this testimony, I mean, I agree with Representative Horton, but there are important differences, and I think differences that really matter in terms of how this is implemented, and I think we ought to approach it as a committee as we might approach any bill, and we have lots of similar bills on similar topics, and you know, we have to move them appropriately to the right committees and, you know, debate them up or down at a certain point. And I don't know if it comes policy. Yeah.
Asking for the right to return the bill to your committee?
No. I'm just, I'm laying a base. I'm laying a foundation. But, I mean, I think the decision we'll have to make is, you know, where each bill goes next and then how they're, you know, eventually how they're presented to the larger body. And I do have some thoughts on that, but maybe we should, you know, save that for the end of the meeting.
Any further questions from testifiers? If not, Representative Anderson, would you, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Representative Anderson, will you come back or do you go? I don't know if we need any more testimony, but I just want to ask a question. If you have any more, what your opinion would be, what you would like to do with the bill, or I know what we want to do, not want to do, but what we will do. Do you have any suggestions? Speaking with the other author, do you want to keep moving the bill or whatever?
Mr. Chair, members, I have discussed with our driver instructors, and they have looked at the Norton bill, and they are willing to sit down and talk with Representative Norton and look and make a comparison with the two bills that you've had before the committee here, to make comparison and make even come back with amendments and maybe combine to go under one bill of author or one, you know, just to bring the language together. If you feel as a committee that they both have some merits that can both go forward and accomplish what you'd like to see as a committee. So we're open to that and willing to abide by what the committee has to.
It appears that there's, you know, the committee, as you indicate, everybody's concerned about it, and I think there's been some suggestions that would be done. Morgan.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, thank you. Maybe it was bad for me to suggest that would be the best way to do this. Another option would be just to pass them both out of committee to, I guess, the General Register. Although I don't know if this will need to go to finance.
General Register, they have to go to finance.
Okay, they both have to go to finance, okay. So, and then let them move along, and maybe they can continue to work on them together or not, or as they see fit, as they move through the committees.
Representative Horton, you had a question?
Well, Mr. Chair, another concern I have about the Anderson bill, which again, I totally support the sentiment and the effort and everything. It's just, and I know you didn't vote for it, but given that transportation bill passed on Monday, I at this time would have a really hard time imposing any other costs on users of the system, because that was, so the $9 increase in the fee becomes kind of problematic in the context of where we are in the session and with the budget and everything. So I just can't say enough good things about the advocacy work that these two gentlemen have done for 10 years, and I think that they will see the fruit of their effort realized through the Norton bill, because I do believe that that will pass. But I think that the other piece, while it's an important piece to raise in the curriculum development, I totally understand that. I'm just not sure, given what we did on Monday and given the state of the budget, that this is the right time to impose a fee on driver's licenses.
Representative Anderson, if I may comment, because otherwise we're going to get a lot of comments, and I think some of the minority members have to leave. But it appears to me that we could do several things, and it might be the wisest to hold this over temporarily, if you could concur with Representative Norton, if you want to do that. Other than that, we'd have to send it to the basically the Finance or Public Safety Committee, because there's finance in it. Would that be... We could act and just temporarily hold
it's up to you, Mr. Chairman. We'd be willing to, at the will of the committee, if you want us to work together with Mr. Representative Norton on this, or you can send it on, however, on a separate path to finance. We'll work and be at your wish.
Yeah. If I may, Representative Norton isn't here, but I think one of the other persons, Mr. Weinholzer, can you speak on her behalf or not? It appeared that we had some comments before. Who is it?
As a co-author of the bill, I agreed to sort of deal with it for Representative Norton. I think she's in a different committee. But, Mr. Chair, if it has to go to public safety, then that's the place we'd like to move it to. My understanding is there's no way to avoid going through that committee.
And one of them, I think we had a penalty involved in one.
Mr. Burris, does the Norton bill have a petty misdemeanor issue that makes it have to go to Representative Mallory's committee?
Are you familiar with
yes.
It has to go to public safety?
Mr. Chair, members, there is a penalty in association with the graduated driver's license provisions in both bills. And as amended, Representative Anderson's bill has petty misdemeanor violations attached to these provisions, and Representative Norton's bill has a misdemeanor violation attached. It's not specific language in the bill, but that is the default penalty for provisions in that chapter of law.
Mr. Burris, do you know if under the rules of the House then we're required to send it to the Mallory Committee, or do you know the answer to that question?
You're asking Mr. Burris? Okay.
Mr. Chair, Representative Portman, I don't know the answer to that.
Mr. Chair?
I think we have to bring it to a head, and we're getting all kinds of questions. We have two decisions to make, and it appears to me that we can leave this bill here. If it goes out, it has to go to finance or public safety. There's no doubt about it. So, I mean...
Chair, both of the bills, Representative Anderson's bill and Representative Norton's bill?
Norton necessarily wouldn't have, but there's a question.
Mr. Chair, as a vice chair of Representative Mulley's committee... I can state with a high degree of confidence that we would want to see the bill in that committee based on the precedents and also based on Representative Mallory's pattern before. I don't want to speak specifically for him, but just knowing kind of the pattern of these kinds of bills in the last, during this legislature, that I have a strong feeling that Representative Mallory would want to see, and I would strongly encourage him to as well, to see both bills.
Representative Anderson, if that would be your wish, just from what I think you have a better chance of having a bill come out here before you get sent to public safety, isn't that right? Public safety is a little tough right now.
Mr. Chair, I think if you'd like to play it over, that'd be great.
If we can do that, I think that's the motion we should have. Representative Morrow.
That's fine if we're going to lay it over, because I had other questions, but laying it over will answer.
That would be great.
Will H. House File 1601 is amended temporarily. Lay it over in concurrence with Representative Northey and House Bill 2628. And whatever you concur, we can move it from there. But I think it's an advantage. I think your bill will stay alive. I think if we send it out here, it's got a different fate, maybe.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you so much.
Other business before the committee? Representative Hartman.
Mr. Chair, do we have to vote on laying the Anderson bill over in this committee?
I don't believe we do, but we may have to defer it.
No.
I think the chair can lay it over. We don't have to vote it. No.
Mr. Chair, with regards to the other subcommittee reports, Do we need to do something with those bills?
We did act on them initially when they came in.
So my understanding is that the House File 2628 is currently in this committee?
Correct.
And so if we want to move it on to another committee, do we have to set it on for hearing in this committee?
We had the hearing. We just have to move it. We wouldn't necessarily don't need another hearing in this committee.
Okay. So would it be appropriate for me to move at this time that it be passed to the next committee?
Well, then you aren't going to have concurrence. Well, I suppose you could. We can, but basically, we held it open for concurrence with Representative Anderson's bill. Or his bill, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
No further business come before the committee. Our next meeting is March 4th at 4 p.m. in this room. Meeting adjourned.